Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, have you ever experienced a red alert moment? Red alert! Red alert! You know what I'm talking about, red alert moments. Your senses are heightened and the adrenaline starts rushing and your fight or flight mode, it'll kick in. Just automatic. God's hardwired us for red alert moments. I had one of those moments this week. I had one of those red alert moments that I didn't know it was coming. I wasn't planning for it. It was unanticipated. I was working from home last Monday in my office, and Andrew was in his room. He was doing some coursework for the class he's taking this summer online at Olivet. Vicky was at her mom's house, and all of a sudden, I started smelling something that didn't smell right in the house. It was a noxious smell, and it just kept growing and growing, and I finished the conference call. And I thought maybe it was wafting in from outside. And no, it wasn't. And suddenly I walked out of my office and I met Drew in the hallway. And he said, and he was coming out of his room at the same time. And he said, "Do you smell that? Do you smell that?" And we were both like, suddenly we were in red alert mode. And we went down to the basement. And I walked down to the basement and the smell was overwhelming in our basement. And I came back up real quick and I told Drew, I was like, "You stay up here because I've got to go down there and figure out if what's going down. And if I need help getting back up here, I want somebody to be able to help me. I don't want us both down there." That's how overwhelming this smell was in our house. And I was down in the basement checking it out, and really my adrenaline level was up. I can't even say it. It was so up. My adrenaline level was up, and I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. Did like something break in the AC unit and it's causing this smell to spread all over the house? And Drew and I were running throughout the house trying to figure if there was, you know, something that had spilled, or if the dog had like broken open like a bottle of fingernail polish or something like that. And we were just like really on the move around the house in a flash. And I wound up calling the AC people, turned the air conditioner off. And fortunately, I've got a great AC guy. And within 45 minutes, they were out there. Think about that. In the middle of June, it's a blazing hot day. I call my AC guy and he was out there in 45 minutes, which was really cool. And we you know, he checked it out. He's like, "Nope, your system's all good. There's nothing wrong here." But he's like, "That smell is awful, you know." And it's like overwhelming. And by the time he had gotten there, it was dissipating just a little bit. And after all the excitement, after we calmed down, after this red alert, after the smell had dissipated a little bit, we had all the windows in the house open. We're airing out the house. We couldn't figure out what it was. Later in the evening, I saw a city truck down the street, and I just thought, "I'm going to go ask if they're doing anything." And sure enough, I asked the guy in the utility truck, "Hey, are you doing anything? What are you doing?" And he's telling me they were like fixing a sewer pipe that cut across our backyard and our street, and this resin, which is poisonous to smell, it was backing up through our sewer pipes. And that's what was causing this smell to happen in our house. So it wasn't the AC, but I got my AC checked. Hey, my AC guy loves me. He's like, yeah, I'll take your $140. But the smell was gone. Red alert was over. But red alert moments, they don't happen all the time, right? They don't happen all the time. But when they do, they are noteworthy. You stop what you're doing and you do something different. They get our attention, and red alert moments send us into action with a sense of urgency. A sense of urgency. Last week we kicked off a new series of sermons and we're focusing on God's will for us to become both whole and holy. Whole and holy. And I want to continue what we started last week with our focus remaining in 1 Peter chapter 5. So if you have your Bible, you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Kids, if you've got a Bible on your table there, help your mom or dad find 1 Peter chapter 5. It's towards the back of the Bible. It's one of the short letters towards the back of the Bible. And there's 1 Peter and there's 2 Peter. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5 is where we're at. I'm not going to read it again for you this morning. We read it last week. I encourage you to take some time and be meditating on 1 Peter chapter 5 over the next couple of weeks. Last week there were three things I really wanted to establish as we start this study together. First, from the mouth of Jesus, it is God's will for us to be made both whole and holy. Peter writes about it here in 1 Peter chapter 5, but Jesus wants us to be whole and holy. It's God's will for us to be whole and holy. Jesus himself teaches us that we are to learn to love God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and all our strength. All our strength, PJ. All of it. So it is God's will for us to be made whole and holy. Second, if it's God's plan for us to become both whole and holy, we as followers of Jesus, we need to become more sensitive. More sensitive about the impact of mental health on the way we do ministry, the way we reach out to people, the way we relate to people. And third, and we got this out of this letter from 1 Peter last week. We as a church, when it comes to thinking about mental health, we need to clothe ourselves in a little bit of humility. Sometimes we make it all about the evangelism and we forget the rest of the person. You know, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? I don't care about the rest. I just want to save your soul. But Jesus says, no, it's not just about the soul. It's about the mind. It's about the body. It's about the heart. It's about the whole person. So we need to clothe ourselves in humility as a church, as shepherds of our individual flocks. We need to develop a renewed sense of responsibility for those over who we hold influence. Amen. In the kingdom of heaven. We need a renewed sense of responsibility for those over whom we hold influence and sway for the kingdom in our lives. And that really catches us up where I want to start this morning. As the church, as shepherds of our flocks, now more than ever, we need to be on red alert. We need to be on red alert because the enemy, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, we need to be on red alert because the enemy is on the prowl. The enemy is on the prowl, and the enemy is seeking to devour the weak and the vulnerable among us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter writes to the church. He says, be self-controlled and alert. Red alert. Be self-controlled and alert. For your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. It's right there in the scriptures. Red alert. It's right there. Red alert, church, shepherds, my fellow shepherds, I'm speaking to you this morning, my fellow shepherds. We need to be on high alert. We need to be ready to act with a sense of urgency because the enemy is on the prowl and the enemy wants to take out those around us who are weak and who are vulnerable. Peter teaches us something about how the devil operates in this passage as we look at this morning. The enemy of our souls, he doesn't go after the strong spiritually. He'll try every once in a while to trip you up and take you down if you consider yourself spiritually strong. But remember, clothe yourselves in humility. Be careful. Pride goeth before the fall. But the enemy doesn't go after the strong. He knows better. He knows he can't tempt some of you to go rob a bank or go sell drugs or start drinking or whatever. He just knows because you're at that place in your journey, you're stronger than that. The enemy doesn't go after the strong. If you've ever watched a cat prey on a mouse, it's kind of interesting. If you ever watch a kitty cat prey on a mouse, even a kitten knows how to do this, but this is the way the devil goes about it. A cat will stalk its prey from a distance. It senses weakness. It senses vulnerability. Smell it in the air. A cat can smell it in the air. The devil can smell weakness. The devil can smell vulnerability. And that cat will prowl. It'll prowl around. You know, you see cats walking around your neighborhood. They're not just walking around having a good time. They're on the prowl. They're looking for something to devour because that's what cats do. And then they sing at night. I'm kidding. They prowl, and cats are very patient. If you ever watch a cat on the prowl, they're very patient. If they find, they smell weakness, if they smell vulnerability, they'll kind of crouch down, and they'll wait, and they'll wait, and they'll wait, and they'll wait, Remy, until just the right minute. And then they'll pounce. They'll pounce on whatever they're after when there's no hope of escape. They just wait until the right minute, and then boom, pow, yum. We need to be on red alert, church, because the enemy isn't necessarily coming after the strong amongst us. The enemy is coming after those who are weak and vulnerable. And if you're feeling kind of strong today, that doesn't mean you get a pass. Because you're a shepherd. You're called to be a shepherd. We're called to be shepherd. The enemy is coming after those who are weak or vulnerable. The enemy doesn't play by the rules. Our enemy doesn't fight with any sense of fairness or honor. Instead, the enemy targets the weak and the most vulnerable and the most broken at their weakest moment in time. That's the way the devil strategizes to take people down. Church, shepherds, red alert! We need to wake up and we need to wise up to the methods of the enemy if we're to live into who we're called to be as followers of Jesus. Amen. The devil would love to take you down, but the enemy would be more than happy to pick off someone in your circle of influence who's simply broken or bruised or vulnerable or fragile. He'd love to take you down, but you know, he's out for the easy pickings. That's the way the enemy works. Someone whose mental health is not optimal, someone who's struggling, maybe dealing with PTSD, or maybe dealing with depression, maybe dealing with anxiety. People whose mental health is not optimal, they might feel like they're isolated. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. These are the ones that the enemy tends to focus on and go after. And simply put, we as the church, we need to wise up to the reality that when we as humans are broken and bruised and vulnerable and fragile, that is when we as humans are most susceptible to temptation. When you're at your weakest, when you're just at your most tired. Think about this pattern in your life when you've struggled with temptation, when that temptation that gets you has gotten you. If I were a betting man, and I'm not, but if I were a betting man, I would probably predict that that happens at a moment when you're either physically, emotionally, spiritually tired. When we're at our weakest, most vulnerable point, that's when we're most susceptible to temptation. And many times to escape or numb the pain that we're or the dissonance that we're feeling in our lives as humans, we are prone to falling further into sinfulness. The enemy often leverages our mental health struggles to suck us further into a cycle of brokenness. That's not fair. Talk about a low blow. Yeah, talk about kicking me when I'm down. Talk about hitting a guy or gal when they're down playing dirty. That's dirty pool. That's the way the enemy of our souls operates. I'm just trying to give you an honest assessment of the way it is. Not fair. And we as shepherds are called to do what shepherds do. We in the church, you if you're a follower of Jesus, we're called to do what shepherds do. This passage in 1 Peter chapter 5 is often read as if it's only written to pastors. Oh, well, that passage only applies to pastors. It's obviously written only to pastors. As a matter of fact, it was Red Friday night at District Assembly during the ordination service. It was before the ordination of three of our newest ordained ministers in the Church of the Nazarene across the entire globe, as our general superintendent put it. It was read before they were ordained, but this passage doesn't just apply to pastors, friends. Everyone who decides to follow Jesus is called to be a shepherd to someone. Amen. Did you hear that? You might want to write that down somewhere. Everybody who decides to follow Jesus is called to be a shepherd to someone. We're all called. So how does this apply to us this morning at Maplewood as we're emerging from a global pandemic and we're trying to be more sensitive to the mental health issues that are even more prevalent now than they ever have been? How does this apply to us? How does this apply to me, Pastor? Well, first of all, shepherds are called to gather their flock. That's what shepherds do. When you get to the real, base, simple essentials, shepherds are called to gather their flock. To gather your flock, you need to own your role as a shepherd, church. You need to suddenly realize that, oh, 1 Peter chapter 5 isn't just for Pastor Joe or Pastor Vicky. That's talking to me too, if I'm a follower of Jesus. You got to own your role. You can't be a shepherd if you don't own your role as a shepherd. You also can't be a shepherd if you don't have sheep. Shepherds have sheep. Who are your sheep? I'm talking to you this morning. Who are your sheep, shepherd? Do you know who they are? Do you know them by name? Do they know your name? Ooh, there's a different twist. Do they know your voice? Because Jesus is the good shepherd, and he was teaching how all of that worked. Who are the people that God has brought into your circle of influence to care for, to influence, to shepherd on behalf of his kingdom? I bring it up because sometimes, let's be honest, ears up, sometimes we're guilty of abdicating our role as shepherds. Sometimes we're guilty of abdicating our kingdom role in the lives of other people. We can get so absorbed in our own lives. We can get so absorbed in our own comfort. We can get so absorbed in our own situation. Oh, I've retired out of that. There's no retirement age in 1 Peter chapter 5. We can get so absorbed in ourselves that we forget that God calls each of us, regardless of where we're at on our journey, to help build his kingdom in our little corner of the world. Amen? Amen? And come on, it's true. We get absorbed in our own experience. The things we're going through distract us from the things of the kingdom. But we are all called to make disciples. We are all called to build the kingdom. We are all called to shepherd the flock that God has assigned to us. They may look like your spouse. They may look like your parents. You're just like, I don't have a spouse, Pastor. I don't have parents. They may look like your children. They may look like your grandchildren. They may look like your neighbors. They may look like your neighbor's children. They may look like your coworkers. I don't even like them, Pastor. They may look like the people sitting right next to you here in worship this morning or online this morning out there. They may even look like strangers, an inmate in the jail, somebody walking up to our food truck you've never met before in your life. Who is your flock? Shepherd, the Lord is asking us, he's challenging us to answer that question this morning. Peter put it this way. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, he puts it this way. He says, And he's talking to followers of Jesus. He's talking to the church. He says, be shepherds of the flock that is under your care. You see it there? Shepherd of flock under your care. You're a shepherd if you're a follower of Jesus. You have a flock. The answer is no, I don't have a flock. Yes, you do. The goal is for you to figure out who your flock is. He says, be shepherds of the flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing. You see, when we're followers of Jesus, being a shepherd of our flock isn't a burden. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be a shepherd. And Peter says, you're doing this not because you have to, not because you have to check a box, not because Pastor Joe's made me feel guilty with this sermon he preached last Sunday on Father's Day at church. Oh, God. Are you willing? Church, hear me. Are you willing with your whole heart to be a shepherd of the flock that God has put under your care? I want you to say it with me. I am a shepherd. I am a shepherd. Now I need you to say it like you mean it, okay? I am a shepherd. Good. That's very good. I really want you to take some time this week. Grab a piece of paper. And I want you to take some time this week, and I want you to write down on a piece of paper who God currently has made as part of your personal flock. You have a homework assignment. Write down on a piece of paper who God has made part of your personal flock, because shepherds gather the flock. And for us to live into our calling, we need to know who our sheep are. Amen? Second thing this morning, we'll roll through these pretty quickly. As shepherds, we're called to protect the lambs. That's what shepherds do. They protect the lambs. And I want you to think for a few moments about how shepherds protect their flocks. It's a really tough job to protect each and every lamb 100% of the time. You just can't be everywhere all at the same time as a shepherd. And I'm really certain that all those little lambies out there are likely to not appreciate a helicopter shepherd over their shoulder every single minute. That could get annoying. If you were a sheep and that was happening, you'd say that was bad news. That was inspired, Ed. You can't be everywhere all the time. So as shepherds, how do you do this? How do you protect the flock? We protect our sheep by knowing where they're at. And I'm not talking physically where they're at all the time, checking the GPS. Where are you at? Why are you at Lowe's? Not talking about that. I'm talking about knowing where they're at on their walk, on their spiritual journey. I'm talking about knowing who they are. Taking some time to get to know who these people are. And I think the most important thing, once we know where they're at spiritually and know who they are personally, then we're equipped as shepherds to be able to pray for them effectively. Amen? As good shepherds, a good shepherd checks in with his or her sheep every once in a while, just out of genuine concern, out of love, concern for how they're doing. You know where they're at in their journey, and that helps inform how you can support and influence them for the kingdom. You're on their side. You're their biggest cheerleader. Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah. Good shepherd knows who his or her sheep are personally, too. It's about relationship. It's about a relationship, and it's not a paper-thin relationship on the surface. It's about becoming a spiritual friend. Amen? You with me here? It's about knowing what they like, knowing what their interests are, knowing what they dislike and what they're not interested in. You know them well enough to know when they're not doing well. And you know them well enough to know when they're having a good day, just by the tone of their voice when you're talking to them. That's what being a good shepherd looks like. As that relationship develops, you'll know their voice, and they'll come to know your voice, too, your spiritual voice, just like the good shepherd. And the number one way a good shepherd protects his or her sheep is where we pray for them. And it's not just a cursory, hey, I'll be praying for you. It's a intentional, on your hands and knees, interceding, pray for them on a regular basis. There's this thing called prevenient grace. that we believe in the Church of the Nazarene, and provenience, a big word. But sometimes people don't even know they have a need, that who are in your flock. And one of the things that you can pray for them, one of the ways you can pray for them is just pray, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would open their eyes. There's no way I can open their eyes. There's no debate I can have that can convince them. But I need you to, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that the grace that goes before we even knew we were sinners, Jesus died for us. That's what we can pray for. That their mind would just start be opening up. Lord, that you would create a hunger in their heart to hear your voice, an awareness of the hole in their being, so that they would crave and desire and know that there's a hunger there, so that I can kind of step in and share my story and shepherd them. Intercede on behalf of your flock before the throne. Pray for them. You may be the only person. You may be the only person advocating for one of your sheep in prayer. It's a huge responsibility. Final point this morning. As shepherds, think about what shepherds do. They gather the flock, they protect the flock, but also, Jesus told the story about the 99 and the one. What did the shepherd do in that? He rescued the sheep. Shepherds are called to rescue the weak and the vulnerable. Part of fulfilling our mission to make disciples that are both whole and holy is to develop this increased new sensitivity to not just the spiritual issues people may be going through, but also maybe some of the mental health struggles that they may be experiencing in their lives. And to develop a new sense of urgency to be able to provide help in meeting them where they're at in their walk as a whole person, not just as their spiritual self. We can't be so self-absorbed that we're missing the opportunity to rescue those who are weak and vulnerable from the enemy who's prowling around like a lion seeking to devour those among us who need an anchor, who need help, who simply need a friend. They need a spiritual friend. So that means we, church, we shepherds, don't fall asleep. Red alert! Wake up! That means we, church, we have to have hearts of compassion. We have to ask the Father, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with compassion. We have to have souls that are filled with the love of Jesus, and we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to do this. It means we have to be given the eyes to see the need. We have to be given the eyes to see the needs of our brothers and sisters who may be struggling in this cycle of brokenness that we were talking about, and they need somebody to help them. The question for us this morning, do you care? Do you care enough to engage? Great message, Pastor. I got to get to my Father's Day celebration. Time out. Pastor Joe, do you care enough, church, Maplewood? I could call you each by name. Do you care enough to engage? Or are we too caught up in our own needs, in our own life, in our own agenda to take up the mantle that Jesus calls us to be shepherds of our flock? Right now as a church, you know what, we're beginning to develop a little bit of a reputation at Maplewood. Did you know that? We're beginning to develop a little bit of a reputation. We're beginning to become known as the food truck church. Pastor Ed's vision for this, you know, it's like, hey, maybe we'll become known as the food truck. We are, aren't we? I mean, people are starting to, we have regulars that are starting to show up, and some of them are people that we haven't seen in a long time because of COVID, or they just haven't been around and they've become disconnected. But we're starting to develop a reputation as the food truck church, and that is not a bad thing whatsoever. We're making connections in our neighborhood like we've never made before. It's wonderful. The Lord's working through it. It's awesome. We are gathering the flock. We're gathering the flock. And my prayer, and I hope that your prayer is that as they know us as the food truck church, my prayer is that they come to know the love of Jesus Christ. Working in us. Working through us. My prayer is that over time, they know us today as the food truck church, that they would come to know us as a church that is after God's own heart.
Amen.
Gathering the flock. We're gathering the flock, protecting, caring for lambs. We're rescuing the weak, the vulnerable. My prayer is over time that we will be known as the church, not just the food truck church. My prayer is that we'll be known as that church that, man, revival is breaking out at Maplewood. The Holy Spirit is moving in that church in new and powerful ways. My prayer is that these altars are filled with people we've never seen before getting saved. Wouldn't that be awesome? Red alert! Gather the flock. Protect them. Pray for them. Let's rescue the weak and the vulnerable. Do we care enough? Maplewood, do we care enough as a church to take up our mantle as shepherds of our flocks? Will we be the church that protects the lambs and rescues the weak? Or will we be the church that is so self-absorbed that we shrivel up on the vine? There's a warning here for us this morning, as much as an encouragement to minister. God, I believe God wants Maplewood to be a vessel through which men and women and children and families can be made whole and holy. Do you see that this morning? That is my prayer. I hope that's your prayer too. He is calling us to a heightened sense of urgency for the broken, for the wounded, for the fragile, for the vulnerable. And here's the mystery of it all as we wrap up this morning. Here's the mystery of it all. In the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of the wounds we carry and the scars we've collected along the way, amen? In the midst of our own fragility, in the midst of our own vulnerability, in the midst of all that, God wants to work through our brokenness and through our mental health struggles that we're struggling with, through our illnesses, through our challenges, through our grief. God wants to work through our brokenness to break the cycle of brokenness in others. That's the way the kingdom of heaven works. You're like, Pastor, I am in no shape to be a shepherd. Yeah, you are. God uses the broken to build his kingdom. Isn't that amazing? That's the mystery. He uses the broken to build his kingdom. He uses the broken to build his kingdom. He wants to rescue us from the enemy, and he wants to make us whole and holy, and at the same time he wants us to join with him to partner together with him to bring wholeness and holiness to our church and to our flocks, our circles of influence, to our community. But we've got to be willing, church, to say, hey, being a shepherd is important enough to make it a priority in my life. It's not just for the pastors to do. We're all called to this. And my prayer is that we would just allow God to guide us, that we would allow God to help us to care enough to see our role in this. And despite where we're at on our journey, we're all facing challenges. We all have our own brokenness. But to trust God that even though I don't feel qualified, even though I feel broken and fractured or ruptured or whatever you've done to your body recently, even in the midst of my brokenness, God can use me even when I'm broken with one wheel falling off. He can use my brokenness to build his kingdom and to make not only me whole and holy, but to help make my flock whole and holy, my community whole and holy. But do we care enough?
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.